Looking to sell your car? Carvana makes it easy. Enter your license plate or VIN, answer a few quick questions, and you can get a real offer that is good for 7 days in just minutes. That's not all. Carvana is dedicated to making car selling easy. No need to get up. Carvana will pick up your car from your home after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today to sell your car without ever leaving the comfort of home.
Hey everyone, it's Estelle Herndon, political reporter for the New York Times. When I became a journalist, I made a promise to my readers, like the way the doctors take an oath to their patients. I committed to bringing the truth to light, no matter which party, business, organization, or person I'm reporting on. I have to be persistent. I have to do research, and I have to push back when someone tries to hide or spin the facts. And I know I'm going to write stories that both Democrats and Republicans don't like. But that's what the New York Times has been doing for more than a century, and that's what we're going to keep doing. We believe the public deserves the right to make up their mind based on the facts. So if you want to support this kind of work, you can subscribe to the New York Times at nytimes.com/subscribe.
Welcome back to The Choice from the New York Times opinion section. In the last episode, we heard the New York Times editorial board grill billionaire philanthropist Tom Steyer. In this episode, you're going to hear what the board had to say once Steyer left the room. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the Steyer interview yet, I highly recommend you do that first. To talk about his visit and the impact that impeachment is having on the Democratic primary, I sat down with my colleague, Michelle Cottle.
My name's Michelle Cottle, and I cover national politics.
Let's start by listening to what the board talked about just after Mr. Steyer walked out the door.
He's clearly, his values are in the right place. His diagnoses of the problem are in the right, you know, he's right. He's actually correct that he's spent money in a lot of ways that I think have been really important to strengthening democracy, at least in California. But I just don't see how he makes the case for being a national leader.
You know, one of the things I found actually really fascinating is the fact that he has been able to do so many interesting, good things with his private money. Yet he's actually making the opposite argument, which is that he's spent all this money on philanthropic causes, and yet actually it's more important than the government.
I mean, he signed the giving pledge. His whole thing should be, in theory, to give away most of his money while alive. So why spend all...
Well, that's what he's kind of doing with this, right?
Million.
He's just handing it out.
I guess you count this as giving it. It's not, though.
But he's right that it's insufficient, right? He could close the rest of the coal power plants in the United States and still not make a dent in climate change. Like, he's right that what he is doing individually is insufficient to the problems he wants to address. It's just that he's not the right person to address them.
I just think it's a shame listening to him because I think his heart and his values do seem to be, in my opinion, in the right place. It's kind of a shame that he isn't doubling down on some of these initiatives that he's done. It's like when he was talking about the results of the Senate races that he had been investing in. Well, why not triple that?
So what was your overall impression of Tom Steyer?
So he's clearly very passionate about this whole project. He clearly wants to do something bigger than he's been doing, and that seems to be why he even decided to run. I mean, one of the big questions is, why, when you have all this money and you've been doing all this advocacy work, would you bother running for president? And it seems that he thinks that he can have an even bigger impact and do even more things. Now, what the impression he gives is of somebody who's very passionate and very well-intentioned and who doesn't have a real sense of how to deal with the problems that he's worried about, other than perhaps just throw an increasing amount of money at them, which makes sense as a guy who came up through philanthropy issues.
He's done a lot on the ground in California. I have the sense that he's starting to pull together the elements of what makes a successful politician. Whether or not it could work, you don't think so?
I mean, he strikes me as potentially a successful candidate. I don't see any evidence in his life or in his performance today that he's good at motivating other people, that he's good at shaping a compromise, that he's good at crafting legislation. I mean, I just have no idea.
Right.
The premise that successful businessmen are going to become successful politicians
It's not that he's a business.
Nothing about him today communicated to me that this is a person who's going to be successful in leading other people.
Why do so many billionaires think that they'd make good presidents?
I think the simplest answer is that when you have that much money, you don't run into people very often who are going to tell you things that aren't flattering or tell you that your ideas are bad or anything along those lines. Now, for some of these guys, it's also that they've been extremely successful in one sphere. So they are like, well, of course, I'm a genius. I can fix this in a way that nobody else can. So I think you combine those two things and suddenly you're in this bubble where everything looks possible.
More from our deliberations after a quick break.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/NYT. netsuite.com/NYT.
This is A.O. Scott. I'm a critic at the New York Times. What I do and what the other critics here do is part of the same project that all of the journalists at the New York Times work on every day to give you clarity and perspective and, above all, a deeper understanding of the world. When you subscribe to the New York Times, it's not just here are the headlines, but here's the way everything fits together. If you'd like to subscribe, please go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
Welcome back to The Choice.
We pushed him on impeachment at the end of the interview, and he got kind of upset. What happened in the room?
Everyone had basically stood up to say their goodbyes, and then suddenly we're sucked back into him getting very spun up about whether or not this is, you know, a bad idea, or how upset he is, how upset everyone should be.
You know, I think there's something wrong here. You know, pretty much across the board. I really do. I mean, you were asking me what got me upset. I'm upset. We should all be
upset.
I'm
not sure if he's worried about people thinking he was a dilettante on this issue or if the way it has panned out, which is it's proved to be extremely divisive and extremely partisan and not remotely cathartic. I don't know if he feels like he still needs to convince people this was the right way to go or not.
Let's talk about Steyer's political visibility as the impeachment guy and what it means in the campaign as impeachment proceedings are unfolding in Washington.
I mean, he was one of the first people out there, certainly one of the most aggressive, pitching the idea that Trump needed to be impeached. So now the House obviously caught up with him and it's happening. But again, it is not one of these moments that has been clarifying. And Democrats are sometimes, you know, especially Democrats from purple states or in moderate areas are in an awkward position in terms of, you know, how much they focus on this on the campaign trail versus how much they focus on issues. So it's not a clear issue even now, unless, of course, you are in an extremely blue district or state where the urge to impeach has been overwhelming since basically the beginning.
So how does Tom Steyer compare to someone like Michael Bloomberg?
Well, you know, the difference is Michael Bloomberg has a tremendous amount of executive experience. He ran New York, for heaven's sakes. I mean, he has political experience. He's well known for certain issues, just like, I mean, in that way, Tom Steyer's focus on climate change has been helpful for him getting his name out there. But, you know, Bloomberg, too, has been known for issues like his gun control advocacy. So the real distinction here, I think, is that Bloomberg was mayor of this enormous complex, you know, municipality. And Steyer has no political experience aside from kind of grassroots organizing.
I felt even like the focus on climate change and his, like, you know, he made a pretty strong statement about how he would make that his priority and nobody else was willing to and, you know, has been, you know, called out. Like, his answer to my follow-up was kind of disappointing because I kind of want to see what it would be like to have a candidate really strongly and emphatically make the case for climate change as the priority. Like, no one does that. And that was like your moment to like convince me, like convince everybody, say that. Like no one has ever done that. Like,
yeah, he never got.
Everybody goes with health care.
We should bring Inslee back in just for kids.
He never got beyond this. It's going to be really serious consequences for all of us.
Yeah.
that is the best argument for his candidacy potentially. Is like if he actually was serious about climate change,
like,
except
I would
that
be excited
he's not
about that.
And he doesn't know what to do about it. And when you ask him if he's actually serious about it, he says no.
I thought one of the things that was really remarkable was his avoidance of claiming climate change as his top priority.
This actually struck a lot of people weirdly in the room because that was what he was most known for. It was what everybody kind of thought was going to be his signature issue. But as you note, he pushed back on the idea that he would have a signature issue like that. It was as though he decided that maybe he was being too narrowcast. I'm not sure exactly what has happened. I mean, people were disappointed on some level that he didn't make this passionate plea for this to be the most important issue. But he really did seem to resist that idea. I mean, and if you're going to do that, then he really doesn't stand out in a field where basically everyone is acknowledging that climate change is a huge issue in the immediate future.
Thank you, Michelle, so much.
Absolutely my pleasure.
That's it for Mr. Steyer. Tomorrow, we'll release our interview with New York entrepreneur Andrew Yang. See you there. Thanks for listening.
The Choice is produced by At Will Media. Mitch Bluestein, Molly Socha, Ashley Taylor, and Rachel Leitner, with help from Michelle Mason. Mixing by Lauren Gardner and original music by Allison Leighton Brown. Special thanks to Tyson Evans from The New York Times. Our executive producers are Will Malnati from At Will Media and Phoebe Lett from The New York Times. Special thanks to Francis Ying at Kaiser Health News. Check out Kaiser's podcast, What the Health. Finally, we want to hear from you. Please rate and review us on the Apple Podcasts app. It'll help more voters find the show.